Hi friends, hi moms. This is Jessica, and I have a quick announcement for all of my favorite listeners of Tanids and Tunes. So exciting news is that I am going to go and be a professor of Survey of Musical Theater. So that means that I get to be a nerd all the time and talk about musical theater to people in college that probably don't want to hear about it. The exciting part is that I'm actually moving to Texas so that I can go and teach at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth. Now, this does mean that we might have to take a couple of weeks off of Tanids and Tunes just so I can get settled and kind of figure out what the next step is going to be for the podcast, because I'm not going to be able to talk to Jimmy as much as I do now, and I'm not going to have the regular access to the guests like I do by living in this city. So I think what we're going to try to do is still keep the same amount of guests, still talk about musical theater and wine. Duh. It just might be in a little bit of a different format. So if you all can just stick with me, and I promise that I will come back with fantastic wines and great stories about shows and even more amazing guests. So stick around, stay tuned, and see what's coming up.
Now that we've got some wine. What?
Nope. Here we go. I can't.
Will you stop? I want this to be in the podcast the entire time, all of this.
Ready?
Now that we've got... If this isn't in the... This is the beginning of the...
Sipping on Trondheim while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Here Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tanids and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moon, I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a
Welcome to Tanids and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. We are so excited to be in this new phase of Tanids
new
and
phase,
Tunes.
Phase two. This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's Tanids and Tunes. We've done phase one. We brought everyone together. Now phase two. We're going to bring other things. Oh, I'm so excited. Ant-Man's joining us.
Which basically, moms, it just means that we're going to be doing more Skype calls, which you can't really tell anyway, so it doesn't
really
even matter.
Yeah.
And that is because I am in Texas.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. So for moms and friends that didn't listen to the little short snippet announcement that we posted, I am the new lecturer of Survey Musical Theater at Texas Christian University.
Woo!
I have 360 students.
Which is too many students. Why are
it
all...
Is too many.
Too many. There should not be that many kids in college right now. Get a job, kids.
Right? I get to nerd out every single day in front of people.
To like a huge lecture hall, right?
Yeah. Literally, like, I'm on a stage with this huge projector. Me, and these kids stare at me making a fool of myself, being like, musical theater's so cool, you guys.
Do you
Miss Frizzle?
Yes. Are you the musical Miss Frizzle who has a like an accompanist right by you, and then every lecture dovetails into a song that you sing like your own cabaret?
I wish. That's going to be next semester.
Yes. Why is Miss Humphrey, like, in a gold lamé gown?
Yes. Every class, I need a costume.
Yes.
What have you been doing?
What have you been doing? That's why we have Tanids and Tunes.
It's true. Jimmy, how was your week?
My week has been great. It was Labor Day yesterday. I finally went to the beach and had a barbecue. I did two things that were, like, I hadn't done all day, all summer.
Yes.
And I did them, like...
Wrapped it all up with a bow.
Yeah, we, like, went to Far Rockaway at, like... We got there at, like, 11:30 noon. We did, like, 3 hours. We came back, 5 o'clock barbecue, boom. We were like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
It was great.
That sounds so much fun. Mm. I introduced my family to canned wine yesterday.
Oh, I should have brought some canned wine to the to the beach and the barbecue. I hadn't even thought of it.
That's literally any time that I can bring canned wine to an event, I'm doing it.
Oh,
and so
absolutely.
I set up like a taste test with my family last night, and I swear they all think I'm alcoholic.
Absolutely.
Like, I am alcoholic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right? Like, show up with four cans of wine.
It's for research.
Research. Let's introduce our guest so that we can talk to her.
Okay. I can't wait.
So our listeners will remember her from the episode where we discussed Groundhog Day.
I think this is our first returning guest.
Yes, first returning guest.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Whoa.
Friend, super friend of the pod.
Super friend of the pod.
Cool.
Special guest star, all star.
And it's Taylor Jones.
Taylor Jones.
Hi.
Woo, hi.
Oh, my gosh.
We are so happy you're here.
I'm so excited. I didn't know that, like, returning part, so that's awesome.
You're it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Of course.
Wow, Hall of Fame.
Yes, you know. If we have a Tans and Tunes, like, put your hands in cement,
yes.
But then you also, like, press your favorite bottle of wine into it.
Oh, yeah.
Your hands and then a bottle of wine.
The Tans and Tunes, like, book of records.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whoever is updating our wiki page can get that.
Yeah. Mine too.
Mom, get on it. And Taylor's.
I want to make sure that we get to talk about some news that's happening on Broadway. So this is going to be a new thing that we're adding in, just a little bit of catching up on what's going on in the industry and getting your hot takes on it.
Hot takes. Ooh.
Hot takes. So one of the biggest things that I just found out today is that the Village Voice is closing down.
What?
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Right?
No,
isn't that weird?
No, doesn't make any sense.
Right?
I
know.
Make any sense.
Did they say why?
Well, they had sold it to another guy back in 2015, and he had promised, like, it's going to keep going, it's going to be great, and then they shut it down, and Michael Musto said this thing like, oh, I would continue writing, but they're literally not going to be there. So I don't know what this means for Off-Broadway, because the Village Voice was a good source for coming up with the reviews for all the Off-Broadway shows.
Yeah.
Can they continue online? There's always the internet. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's so
right?
Weird.
Yeah,
weird.
So that's crazy.
Or maybe there'll be no more Off-Broadway.
Oh.
This is.
No, maybe this is time for a new era of the Village Voice, like the sequel, you know,
ooh.
For some new, like, up and coming.
We all get phase two.
You know, yes, exactly.
We all get phase
one door closes and another door opens. Who knows?
Done. Beautiful. I love it.
Another big thing is that they are saying that the Cats movie is going to be ready to go by December 2019.
Like in theaters 2019? Like ready to film?
Yeah, like what is it? Like, are we going to see like Taylor Swift dancing? Or are we going
right,
to get like
she is the
cartoons?
Dancer, right?
They all are, right? It's Cats. I mean.
But no, she's like she's like the little baby girl, right?
Like, are they? I want them to be in full cat makeup.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or are we going like a Lion King thing where we're doing motion capture?
But then that's not live action. Isn't it like the live action?
Well,
cat?
I mean that is the discussion. Is they say that the Lion King new show or movie is going to be live action, but it's literally going to be motion capture, right? It's
like
going to be
Avatar.
Donald Glover and Beyonce like. Like
crawling around
with a bunch of dots on their face, a camera right in front of their face. Just
we all know that Beyonce is just gonna come out and stand there because that's all she needs to do. Her to fall anywhere.
Yes.
Or at least she's shutting that down. No cameras, no nothing.
Uh-uh.
Like, you will not catch me in a unitarded dot suit, or it shall be decked in Swarovski crystal.
Yeah.
She'll have it designed by Balmain.
Oh, I'm super excited for that one then, yes.
So that's a little bit of news that's happening. Oh, and then the Head Over Heels is heading out doing Broadway sessions.
Yes, on Thursday. It will be this coming Thursday in our time.
While we're recording. It will have already happened when this drops.
But we're so excited because it's the first time outside of the show that any of us, like, we'll be performing, especially as a group, and we'll perform something from the show, and I'm really excited because people know that our ensemble are really fierce dancers because they can see that, but they are also ridiculous singers, each and every single one of them, so I'm really excited for anyone to see them shine in a different light.
There was a point in the musical, because, yeah, I did the same thing. I made the same mistake everybody did. I was like, these are fierce dancers, and they're probably, like, singing very basic things or whatever. That's great. Mm-hmm. But then there's, like, the point at the end, or, like, at the end of Act 2, where somebody, like screlts a high whatever, and I'm just like, where did that come from? Who did that?
It's ridiculous.
And it's just like, it's one of the dancers who's just like, also just like, and I do this!
Yes. And they each reveal a new skill every day. It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Let's get into some wine.
Let's do it.
Ooh.
Let's do it. Okay, so this is a really cool wine. So I went to, because I'm now based in Dallas, I had to change wine stores.
You didn't go to BTL? You didn't go...
BTL can deliver. Good wine? I think it's a little much on their bikes to deliver all the way out here.
No, you called for delivery, but they're still on their way.
They're
like in Tennessee right now. Like, I'm coming! I'm coming!
Don't you worry.
Honestly, I wish, because I am missing some of their wines so much and I can't get them here. Oh man, it's been rough. But I finally found a place and they are awesome. This guy named Peter was helping me and he was really great. And they like got their psalm wasn't in for the day yet because of course I go wine shopping at 11 a.m.
Of course you do.
A Monday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so no one was there, like, besides this poor guy. And so he called up the psalm to, like, talk me through it on the phone and, like, give me the story behind this really cool wine.
Oh.
That's really nice.
Want to open it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So this is the Bella Costa from Daniel Cohn Winery based in Sonoma.
Okay.
Let's go ahead. You want to go ahead and open?
Yeah.
We're doing this by Coastal. Yeah. So what's really cool about this winery and this wine is that really it's Daniel Cohn. Like, he is so cool. His dad was Bruce Cohn, and it's spelled C-O-H-N, and he was a manager for the Doobie Brothers.
What?
Wow.
What? So I was thinking, like, a wine that was super rock and roll and, like, had some connection to music, and they found this really cool wine where his dad grew up being a manager for, like, not just them, but, like, a ton of bands, and he was always on the road. And then in order to create some stability for his family, he bought a dairy farm out in Sonoma.
Wow.
And then started treating it as a winery and planted really great vineyards and came up with this really, really great cab. And that was part of his winery, which was called, hold on one second, let me just check my notes. It was called Be Our Cone. And
like
then
Be Our Guest?
Like Be Our Guest, but like B and then an R.
Did he have like a magical cow that just started spurting wine one day and he was like, man, forget this dairy farm
back there. Like the golden goose. The goose right. Like the golden egg, but it went wine instead, which is far more profitable, I'll tell you. All right? You got a part. You got a petition.
She's a purple cow.
You got to store that cow in a cool, dry place.
Yeah, like Elphaba, they're like, get away! But then she was magical all the while.
But what's funny is that if she's not squirting at the time, everybody has to go down on the ground at the end of Act One for this cow. She's like, it's not working. It's not working.
Keep her confidence up.
Yeah. Anyway,
She's Skrelt. She's great.
She's Skrelt. So his dad had this winery, and that's where Daniel learned all about winemaking and started studying with people in the area, learning how to make his own wine. So he came out with Daniel Cohn Winery, and he is so old school and kind of reminds me of an actor in the sense that he's always out personally pushing his wine. So he's the guy who's on the road 24/7. He does not take a break, and he's going to the wine stores. He's going to the restaurants. He's going to the shows and introducing himself personally and making these personal relationships with people so that when you recommend his wine, it's like, hey, you should try my buddy's wine. It's really good.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
So cool. And so, like, theater community-oriented. I mean, he says that he wants to be the hardest-working, most accessible wine principal out there.
Okay.
And build those personal relationships.
That's great. That means he, like, loves his job, too, and loves his passion about what he's doing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to try his wine.
Oh, now
I
do.
Okay, so we're going to look at it here.
But I also want to hear his tight 16.
Oh, yeah. Like a solid 16 bar. Okay, so really gorgeous.
Yeah.
This wine is gorgeous.
It's dark.
It's dark, but it is also lighter in body than I thought it would be for a cab.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really, really nice, like if you press blackberries, I feel like this is what the juice looks like.
It's also something I want to do now.
Yes. Between my toes.
My feet. Ooh, I want to get those blackberries right in those tushies. Is there, I always thought, I guess we can talk about this when we taste it and smell it, but I always thought that cabs were going to be like lighter and drier.
Definitely dry because they have a little bit of acidity, and typically they're more smoky than fruit forward. Fruit forward you're getting with like a Pinot.
Yeah.
But think red fruit versus black fruit. Cabs and Merlots are going to be more black fruit driven. Pinots are going to be more red fruit driven.
I love it.
Not all the time, but sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you're getting that, like, smoky, woody character to it.
Yeah. Oh, I also now want a smoky blackberry.
Yeah.
I want to bite into just a smoky...
I want, like, a fancy cocktail that has, like, smoke in it with a blackberry flourish. Do you know what I mean? When they always, like, present it.
Yes!
That's the thing that they do, yeah. Smoke-infused is the new thing.
It's the new thing, and you're like, whoa!
Oh,
okay.
Okay, thanks.
I hope my eyebrows are okay.
Yeah. They actually set it on fire.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and smell this.
Okay.
Mm. Wow. This smells incredible.
Yeah, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like, I can already tell that it's going to be super silky, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a lot of that, like, blackberry and dark chocolate.
Ooh, I hear the dark chocolate now. I hear the dark chocolate now.
You hear it?
She's speaking to me.
Yeah, a lot of oak on it, but without it being... Sometimes when I smell a lot of oak, I get nervous that they're, like, covering up for a bad wine by, like, putting in oak chips and giving it that flavor.
I'm going to start doing that at my auditions, just throwing oak chips first. And if, it covers up some of the bad things.
If you don't hit the note that you wanted to hit, you're just like, oak chips, oak chips.
It works on mine.
Right? We're fine, right? And they're like, ooh, Taylor's really giving me a smoky, oaky scent.
Yeah. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Oh, yeah, if I ever, like, come over, maybe hung over to an audition, and my voice is just, like, that very, like, 10 levels, I will just say, I'm giving you an oaky finish today. You're getting an oaky finish. There are giants in the sky.
I like my auditions like I like my wines. Smoky and oaky.
Oaky.
Let's go ahead and taste this.
Wonderful.
Mm.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot more acidic than I thought it would be based on the smell.
But also,
but it's
like,
super silky.
Silky. It's very fruity.
But I feel like the fruit changed a little bit from, like, super black fruit driven to, like, there's some plum that I'm getting.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of plum. Absolutely. And then.
You were talking about that dark chocolate. It's like the slightest hint at the end.
It's like mocha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the dark chocolate kind of is way more present in the smell than it is in the taste. But you're right. It's right there on that finish. But it's like mocha.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I like this.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Now, you'll be surprised to note that this is not a natural wine, and it is not whole cluster pressed.
What?
Yes, finally getting you out of your shell. Ooh,
right.
Is that
yes,
all?
Great.
Is that also a parallel to the show itself, in which people get out of like their shell or the norms of what they are do? You're getting out of the norms. Oh. You're getting out of the beat that you normally like live by.
Yes.
All right. The beat that you used to have is not the beat that you have anymore.
No. Find that new beat.
All right. Find that new beat.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So thank you, Jimmy, for winning at Tana's and Tune.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Okay, Taylor, last time you were here, we talked about Groundhog Day as, like, your Broadway debut, everything that was going on with it. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Now you're a lead.
Yeah.
You're not only a lead. I was just thinking about this today. You are originating a role.
Yeah.
This is throughout the annals of musical theater and Broadway history, Taylor Amon Jones will be the original, like, lead of Mopsa.
Yeah.
Like, the original Mopsa.
I'm going to talk about you in my class.
Yeah.
In history, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How cool. Oh, my gosh. It's so weird. So weird in the best way.
So tell us about that process. Tell us about, like, how you got into how you got a part of the show.
Sure.
We'd love to hear about your time out of town and then what it was like to open the show on Broadway.
Sure.
All of it. Give us all of it.
It's funny because the show has been around, like, the show has existed since 2014 at OSF, and it's had many labs and workshops since then. So we have one cast member, Bonnie Milliken, who's been in it since the OSF run.
Oh, my goodness. She's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. She's so good. It's unreal. And then the majority of the other leads have been in a few workshops and labs coming, for 2 or 3 years. And then me and Jeremy Kushner were the only two that added on to this final version.
Whoa.
And it's funny because, you know, you hear about callback after callback after callback and all the auditions you go on. And Head Over Heels is the quickest turnaround I've literally ever had of all my auditions. I went in once for Michael Mayer and, like, casting. And they're like, great, come to the callback. And the callback was in front of, like, producers, Tom Kitt, everybody. I did my callback. I read with Bonnie, who I didn't know who she was at the time. But I read with her. I came out. Jim Carnahan literally, like, followed me out and was like, great, so we're going to offer you the role. And I was like, wait, what?
What?
Okay. And I was in the middle of presentations for another lab I was doing. Like, we had one that morning. I had to go do this callback, and then we had to go back and do another presentation.
Right.
So, of course, I was just like, oh, okay. I think I said, from your mouth to God's ears, because I just, like, couldn't believe. He was, like, you can't just do that. And I just knew that, I knew, like, he was going to go back in the room and they'd change their mind and, you know, it wasn't going to be real.
And so when I meant you, I meant that I was trying to pet the other person.
The
other person right ahead of you, but you're in my way. Taylor, sorry.
So I'm just like, okay. And I just refused to believe him. And then I walked back. By the time I got back to my presentation, he, like, sent me a text message. And so did Michael Mayer, being like, you're in, kid, like, congratulations. It was close to the holidays, so, like, my agent's office was on holiday, like, everybody was shutting down, so I think they just want to make sure I knew before, like,
seat available.
Yeah, before Christmas and New Year's was coming up, and so it was weird because when I got back to my presentation, people were like, how'd your audition go? And I was like, I got it. It was very weird.
Okay.
I think I got it. Anyway, fast forward.
Why do you think you got it? They offered it.
Yeah.
Wait, was it a vibe?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, it was so weird.
Was it a vibe? Was it a thing? No, it was the words.
Yes, it was.
You got it.
I'm like, let it be clear. Like, I was very much prepared. Like, I was off book for this audition, like, 2 weeks in advance, just because it was in verse and it was a whole song, and I just was not gonna.
Which we're gonna talk about.
Yeah, it was not gonna mess it up. Anyway, fast forward, we got to do our out of town run in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Which is where we're from.
Like, grew up as an artist.
Yes,
as we talked about in Groundhog Day.
Had all aspects of, like, the beginnings of my professional career and what made me who I am today in New York. It's so cool. I trained at ACT in San Francisco. I did, you know, community theater, like Ray of Light there, but then I also performed with ACT and San Francisco Playhouse. So it was just so weird. And I've also, like, done the elementary school tours, like teaching kids how to like ride their bikes, you know, in the little 20-minute auditorium.
I remember that
awful thing. And so it's like,
and I mean, let's not forget your tour de force as ballerina.
Do you follow me on Twitter at all?
Of course I do.
Did you see my tweet about the dolphin show?
No, I don't think did. Okay, I'm so, not on. I don't look at Twitter. But
and that was so disgusting. Do you follow me on Twitter? Like. But no, I got reposted by Playbill and things. But anyway, they had that like share your rejections hashtag.
Oh, okay.
And I remember it was after I had been a performer for them, and then I was working the next summer as the dolphin, like just in their animal, like when you come in, you're like, these are the penguins. They're from South Africa. Blah, 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 blah. I was doing that, and then they had auditions to be the host for the dolphin show, and I was like, perfect. This is it. This is my time. Like, I hate this anyway, but like, if I can do that, I'll do it. I did it. I gave my best, like, and Shuka, like, blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, oh, you were lacking in stage presence, and we're going to give it to Josh. And I was like,
What?
And so I remember, like, I posted that as my tweet, like, I didn't even book the dolphin show because they said I was lacking in stage presence. And here I am, like, on Broadway, so suck it.
Hey, do you remember the future in which I get a role right after I do the callback? Do you remember that?
Found that stage presence.
You know what it probably was? Shuka's a real diva, all right? You know. That whale is a real diva. She doesn't, you know, she's just like, ooh, competition. I don't like this.
I'm obviously not bitter about it at all.
I bet. I like to imagine, like, 20 years, or not, like, let's even be, like, even more, like, 5 years from now, you win a Tony, and then you go, this is great, but what I really want to be is the person who, like,
this is for everyone who didn't believe in me when I auditioned for the dolphin show.
Yes. Yes. That's it.
Oh, I expect that to be at the end of your Tony Award speech.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely now.
Thank you, Tannins and Tunes. Or you're like, I don't even want this, and you throw it away, and then you burn every bridge on Broadway.
I retire for that.
And you just like constantly try to go back to that. You move back to California.
I turn into a whale at one point. I try to become one.
You're just like practicing your like jump over the wall like Free Willy, and it's like a montage where you're like, you're not getting it. She's really lost it.
This is who I am.
always
anyway. Let's see. Back to speaking of the Bay Area.
So you're in the Bay Area.
It was really, really cool because I got to promote, like, Wicked started there, and I saw that production. Before it went to Broadway, it was their out-of-town tryout at the Current. So it was cool to, like, see their memorabilia kind of scattered throughout backstage.
Weren't you, like, two at the time when that happened?
I remember I was a teenager. I must have been, like, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. But, like, I remember my mom, like, she was a subscriber. We just watched whatever tour would come through. And that was part of the subscription that day. And she's like, I don't know, do you want to watch this Wicked thing? And like Wizard of Oz, but like before. Neither of us knew what it was. And we're like, okay, sure. Like, she really is, she helped spark my musical theater.
If you're doing a dead on impression of your mother in which she says, but before, I'm like, I'm into it. Like, I love your mom. Yeah. I'm in love with your mom.
And she like took a risk on this random show and it ended up being Wicked.
Maybe your mom should get into producing.
For real.
Oh, yes. She has lots of opinions, let me tell you.
And we're going to all hear them on
our next Mother's Day episode.
Yeah. Ooh, can we get your mom?
She lives in California.
Yeah, we could
Skype in.
Skype with my mom.
Oh, gosh. That would be really something.
Ooh, that's fun. That's fun.
By the way, I am now, as our listeners know, living with my parents.
Ooh.
And it means that I am around my mother all the time.
My mom, is she here?
Okay, no, she's at work. But we don't have to communicate via the podcast anymore, so.
Oh, so there's no more. She'll tell you right to your face.
She will. she will. She actually came up to me. I had been here for a couple days, and she came up and she was like, I just listened to your latest episode, and I can't remember what I was supposed to tell you, but it was something having to do with what you said on the episode. Great, Mom. You can come up and tell me whenever.
Yeah. Also, Mom, you know that you can re-listen to podcast episodes. It's not like the radio where they go away.
She's like, no, that's
it. That was it. All right. I can't go back. Once I listen to it, it's gone. Right. It's a Mission Impossible message. Right. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
That's life.
That's life. Also, go see Mission Impossible Fallout. Sponsored by Tannins and Tunes.
It really needs to be sponsored.
That movie needs to be sponsored. Yeah. Not the other way around.
Yep. No. So Taylor, tell us about when the show got to New York and kind of what you all were thinking and maybe what were some of the changes from that production.
Sure. The coolest thing about getting to do a full out-of-town run is you get to do every aspect of your show and mm-hmm. see what works and what doesn't. You know, in labs and workshops, you're like, maybe the lights will look like this. Maybe the set will look like this. And, you know, but we got to see exactly what it would look like, and they got to see exactly how audiences would respond to certain things and how they don't respond to other things. And so when we got to New York, it was mostly about tightening up and clarifying our story. We have, it's very similar to Midsummer Night's Dream, where there's kind of many storylines happening in one storyline, and you know, it's hard to do that clearly, and we are saying a lot with our show, and I think we have found a successful way to do that now. And in San Francisco, I think it was just like, listen to all of it and look at all of it and da 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 da, now it's like, okay, now we've grown up, and now we know how to say it to you a little bit better and sexier and cleaner.
Yeah, it's streamlined. It's streamlined. The word I have thought of. I was because I don't know if listeners know, it's music from the Go-Go's, but the it's all in verse.
Yeah.
So the actual the play itself is in verse, which was something I didn't think of when I was coming in, didn't know.
Yeah.
So it's how they wrote it made me it was very easy. I wasn't ever lost. Mm-hmm. You know, but it also is that thing when you're it's in verse, you kind of have to
turn your brain on
a little bit.
You
have to listen, which mm-hmm. I think is, you know, also good. Because of that, since there's an extra thing, it's so nice and it's so easy that the storyline is sort of you know what it's streamlined.
Yeah, because we do have a lot of access, so it is in verse. So already people are okay. Turn your brain on.
Right.
But then right when you're what's maybe happening? We got a big old Go-Go song for you to calm your brain, you know?
Oh, right.
And then you just get to listen to Go-Go's lyrics, which are not in verse, but are beautiful and have secrets that you didn't even realize before. And, definitely in a new context.
Can we talk about, I don't know if this is but let's talk about your song. Let's talk about Vacation. We're talking about hidden lyrics. And, that's a song that, first I want to hear, your thoughts about singing the song Vacate. It's it's your song, you know?
Right.
And, which is iconic. I think it's We Got the Beat and Vacation, right? But secondly, listening to that song, I only knew it as Vacation,
happy
chorus. Yeah. But I never, until you all did it and how you did it, I finally understood the true message of the song.
Yeah.
You know, it worked very well for me.
It's,
tell us all about that.
Yeah,
part.
It's cool. So before we even started rehearsals, they had like a night when they announced the cast. It was like the night officially they announced the whole cast, like we're going to Broadway, this is it, blah, blah, blah. They had a Go-Go's concert at the Bowery Electric downtown, and they invited us all to come. It's the first time we all met each other, and they opened their set with Vacation. And I remember that was the day that it had finally sunk in, like, I'm on Broadway as a lead, or I'm going to be on Broadway as a lead singing that song. And that's going to be my song. Like, that is wild.
Right?
So that was cool. Step one. Step two, we come into it, because I didn't know how it was going to fit in the show. I'm going to find out it's kind of, it's not quite a breakup song, but it is a lonely song. It's like the song after you break up, like when you listen to it after, you're like, my heart's broken, because it's like, I can't stop thinking about you. I went on vacation to stop thinking about you, and I can't get over you. Like, 1 week away, 2 weeks away, and I'm still just thinking about you, and even though this vacation is all I ever wanted, it's not working.
Right.
And then you're just like, oh, I'm sad now, even though that it's a happy, bouncy song. And the Go-Go's did that with many of their songs intentionally to, like, juxtapose these lyrics with these pop punk beats and melodies, which is really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And so much more heavy than you initially think.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why, in my mind, using verse in the show works so well, because you already have people tuned in to listening to words.
Yes.
And so then when you go into a song, they aren't just getting carried away by the music, because their brain is already in tune with, oh, I need to pay attention to these words and what they're actually saying.
Yes, exactly right. And that's fun, because especially since we're doing Go-Go songs, you know, Go-Go's fans come, and so they hear the first four beats of a song, and you can kind of hear some people cheer, woo, or ooh, you know, because they don't know what it's going to be. But then eight counts later in our story, it's not what they expected. And I think the best compliment that I can get is, we had, every time we meet a diehard Go-Go fan at our stage door, they love it. And I think, like, first and foremost, those are the people that I want to respect. You know, if you've been a Go-Go's fan since the 80s, I hope that the way we're presenting their music does justice for you. And I think we are doing that. Tom Kitt is amazing at doing that.
That's one of his specialties, I feel like.
Exactly.
Tom Kitt is in everything.
Oh, he's busy.
He's working.
All right, he's working. I don't know if you... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that he and Alex Lacamoire, I feel like, are those people that a little bit fly under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at everything and you're like, wait, wait, wait. You did this show and the show and the show and the show. Like, when did you rest?
Right.
Did you break?
Right. Did you know that they're personally animating the new Pixar film?
That's
Tom Kitt is personally animating Cars 4.
He's ready. He's ready.
He's already finished it this morning.
He's already done. What's funny is he's not involved with the music. He's just animating it.
Just animating.
Just rendering.
He's got extra time to, like, pick up a skill, you know?
Right. Computer animation.
Real quick.
This honestly would not surprise me.
No. And he's the nicest guy.
Oh,
God, he is so, so nice. So supportive, lets you try. It's awesome. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Can I talk about favorite parts of the show? Okay. I think my first favorite part, just because, like, I know her and I love her, and I'm watching the show, but I'm also just like, what's Taylor doing? What's Taylor doing? What's Taylor doing? So we're doing a first opening show, or not first opening number. We got the beat, so much fun, and then the first person that comes up to sing a verse is Taylor. The person who, it's kind of like the person to welcome us into this world is Mopsa.
Yeah. See the people walking down the street, calling lights, watching on the beat.
And I love it. And I don't know who any of these people are, you know. And I'm looking at, like, who, like, I'm looking at the thing, and it's like, the daughter, but I don't, again, I don't know how, this is a fully new experience, you know.
Right.
And I don't know, but this character comes up, and she sort of, like, welcomes us into this world.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Tell us about that. Was that something that was always there? Was that something that was, that came into the Broadway?
I guess I can share this. So, there used to be a version, and in San Francisco it was this version, where my character was the narrator throughout the entire production.
Whoa!
Yeah. So that is kind of a carryover from that, because I used to sing, like, the whole entire beginning, and then also, like, start the show with, like, I am Mopsa, like, mover of the plot, this show's in verse, pay attention, let's
Did
go, here we go, scene one.
Did you also be the narrator, but, and not to try and, like, spoil it too much, but also have your own, the storyline that you have?
Yes.
Cool.
So I was the narrator and that storyline. But then, like, so then because of that, and, like, one of the other things in the show, like, towards the end with the Oracle.
Yes.
It kind of made it confusing of, like, what world does Mopsa live in? Like, does she know? Does she not know? Like, what parts of other characters does she know? What part of her own story does she know?
Oh, yeah, because if she's the narrator who is telling the story, like, past tense, kind of, right?
Yeah,
then how does she, I'm surprised, or, like, how does she also live in the tale?
Yes, and then, so then it used to, I had a lot of lines to, like, help clarify where we were, like, time, you know, 2 weeks have passed, and here we are, blah, 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 and cutting time, we kept cutting those lines, and then in our final production, I kind of was, like, narrator in the beginning, and then, like, not really towards the end, and so they decided, like, it just wasn't needed, like, if we cleared the story...
Yeah.
Within the
Again,
just
like
the story,
streamlined.
Yeah, streamlined. Then we don't even need a narrator, and, like, we really wanted to cut time. Like, there's a lot happening. Our show isn't the shortest; it's just, like, 2 hours plus a 15-minute intermission. But, like, we just wanted to make it. There was a one-act version of it at one point, but, like, so anyway,
oh, no,
it was cut for time. Definitely not because of anything I did, and I'm definitely not bitter about it. No.
Chicks up!
But yeah, that was one of the lessons I learned in creating a new Broadway show, for sure.
Yeah.
Was, you know, you gotta cut ties with things you love, and you gotta let go of your ego, because, like,
not
10 times out of 11, it's not about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
not, Tom. It's not about me.
So yeah, that's a carryover that luckily works for me, and
so great.
Has taken me a long time to, like, get over the nerves, and every day I'm still like, I'm gonna mess up these words. Like, I'm gonna go there and be like, see, great, okay, we got the beat.
We got the beat. We got the beat.
Just keep saying beat until someone else takes over.
And, like, the queen comes in and she's like, "It's okay, honey.
Yes,
it's okay.
Yes, I got it.
Because she seems like a mothering type.
Yes,
like she seems like it's okay. In, like, that her beautiful, like, Shakespearean.
Oh my God, the one and only
voice.
Rachel York, Tony Award winner, who doesn't age.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
No, she literally looks the same. The same.
And she does, every day, in person, effortless. She's one of those people who, like, floats into a room, and you're like, ugh, how?
I would have to get up at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning to look like that.
Yeah. No, she looks like she rolls out of bed, and the sun just, like, kisses her perfectly. And, like, blesses her day.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yes.
Also, the sun has this weird accent that's indeterminate.
I love you. He's from everywhere.
He's from everywhere. They, he's the sun.
Yes.
All right.
Jimmy, I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about concessions.
I want to talk about concessions. Okay, yeah. It's a passion project of mine, concessions. So I just wanted to talk about doing the show in the Hudson, which is a new theater. We can talk. I'd love you to talk about that. But also, I want you to expound upon. This is a theater that sort of does away with this, like, new tradition that has happened in Broadway, where, like, things are in plastic cups with lids.
Yes.
You know, so I went to see the show, I got a couple of beers, and they actually gave me a beer bottle.
Yeah,
and it was like,
okay,
here you go. Or they would give you a glass for your wine. I saw a guy I think, order champagne.
Mm-hmm, in a bucket.
In a bucket.
Yeah.
And he's just taking it to his seat. He's just, like, hugging it. Yeah. Just like, oh, this is the best. So, I would love for you to also talk about, is that what's it like working with that? Is it distracting? It feels it's more prone to accidents and breaks and
sure.
what happens. Or is that...
Or does it just, like, give the audience, like, are they starting out knowing that it's a party?
Yeah. Like, what... Yeah.
I know part of the renovation, because the Hudson is the oldest and newest Broadway theater around, and with the renovation, they wanted to keep some of that nostalgia that old Broadway theaters have. From the moment you step into the lobby, they kind of have like a double lobby situation.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And
it's beautiful, and they want it that way so that you immediately know like you're in a new space. And they wanted to keep the glass to keep that level of entertainment elevated for everyone so that it isn't, you know, I want to be like, you feel like an adult when you go to the theater.
Of course. Experience, and it's not, we're not at an amusement park.
Exactly, and I know that even the glassware is part of coming to the Hudson's experience. They also have a Froze machine.
I saw.
So, what?
Yeah.
Is
so,
it good? Did you try it?
I haven't tried it because I'm on a mission this year. I'm not drinking this year, so I didn't get to taste the wine in the podcast.
Sorry, we wanted to have that, we broke the veil of mystery.
Oh, sorry.
The curtain, it's fine.
The curtain, it's fine. But it's my New Year's resolution, and so.
That's great.
I'm holding strong. And let me tell you, though, I miss wine the most. And I'm looking forward to tasting it in a new, like, era.
Oh, listeners.
Your resolution is over. We can send you a bottle.
Yes.
We will absolutely send you a bottle of our new Tannins and Tunes wine.
Yes.
That we have here.
I hope you made it with your toes.
$36.99 a bottle. We made it with our toes.
You know, if there was a Tannins and Tunes wine, it would be natural. Whole custard at your feet.
Oh, I can't wait to taste your wine. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really good.
But I also wanted to say, like, so she didn't taste the wine. But
I did smell it.
Smell it. And her nose was knee-deep in this glass. Just like.
Took that moment. So great.
So Taylor, just in wrapping up, what are some of your favorite moments of the show?
Oh, absolutely. I think the thing that I want people to know is that it is a show for all ages, and I can't stress that enough. So it'll bring, it's wild enough for kids to enjoy. Little Rachel York's daughter, who I think is 6 or 7 years old, sees it like twice a week or something and loves
it.
Also 92-year-olds love it. If you feel like you love highbrow theater, we give you that with this verse and a complicated and fun story. If you just want a rock concert, like the voices that are in this show are really like melting the house. Yeah. Rachel York, Jeremy Kushner, Bonnie Milligan, Alexandra Socha, Andrew Durand, Peppermint from Drag Race. We have the first trans woman originating a role on Broadway. We have many LGBTQ storylines and highlights. I've never been a part of a show where I exit the stage door and so many people say, I'm finally seeing myself on stage for the first time ever.
That's beautiful.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. And also, people cannot stop talking about how much fun it is and how much you leave our show just feeling warm and bright and in love and with more love and more acceptance than ever before.
And can we also, like, can we go back and talk about those dancers? They're just, like, giving their all. Again, like, there's...
You're getting a full dance show.
You're
dance
getting
experience.
A full dance show. And the first, you've got the beat. Mm. They, like, everybody goes away except for the dancers, and they do this, like, table number.
Yes.
And it is on fire.
Our costumes are ridiculous. Like, I think there's a lot of love and appreciation for not only our show, but every aspect of theater itself. Our set is not complicated, but it is beautiful. Like, these beautiful painted theater flats.
And these,
projections.
And the projections. Projections.
Which is also bringing, like, old school, centuries old theater into new school contemporary 2018.
Oh, you do a in Act Two. You do a shadow play.
Yes, which was something that was left over from a workshop lab. Like they were just doing in the studio room, thinking
so
like
cool.
It'll never cross over. But here it is, like on the Broadway stage, like sheet and flashlights.
Right. And it kind of like because of like what it is. Again, not to like spoil it, but it so harkens to Rocky Horror.
Yes,
and what's kind of what happens in like. That at least in like the movie or like the the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely getting Rocky Horror vibes.
Mm-hmm, we get compared to some of that for sure.
I'm loving it. Yeah,
it's a beautiful, great, fun time for everyone and for all.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
I love it. Well, if you're in New York, definitely go see Head Over Heels. If you're not in New York, get to New York and go see Head Over Heels.
Yes.
Yeah, Jessica, get to New York. Why are you in New York?
Guys, speaking of which, are we ready for our game?
Yeah. All right. Now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to play games right now. Okay, I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
You're like, maybe it worked.
Well, okay, so speaking of me being in Texas, I have to give my first test on Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Jessica, didn't you just start?
Yeah. I'm the worst teacher ever.
You're the worst. A test already?
I know.
Ooh, I would hate you. I'd be like, ooh, Humphreys. Ooh.
That's a rough class.
This is all essay questions. There's no multiple choice.
Musical theater is hard.
It's multiple choice and true and false. See, I'm a little nice.
Okay, that's good. And do they know it, or is it a pop quiz?
No, they are well aware.
Okay. Good.
They are well aware that this test is coming up. They have had it on the syllabus since day one, and I've said it multiple times. All week I've been getting questions of how to study for the test. Yeah. So I am going to give you all – there are 75 questions on the test.
And we're getting all of them. Strap in. This is a three-hour podcast. Taylor, did you know – you're going to be late for your show.
I'm probably going to start drinking at some point.
Well, I want each of you to pick a number between 1 and 75.
Oh.
And I can ask you a couple questions from the test.
Great.
I want to preface this with that it is musical theater history – from the origins of musical theater up until 1919.
Oh,
so nothing that we're going to know. Oh, so Go-Go's aren't even a part of this?
Mm-mm.
I don't like this.
Not yet.
Also,
not yet.
Oh,
it will
that is a non sequitur, but I'm just like, when's the Free Willy musical coming? Just harkening back to us.
That is my star turn.
That's when you get everything. When everything comes together for you. Sponsored by Six Flags.
And I play the whale.
And you play Willie.
That's how I win my Tony.
And you're like, vacation, all I ever wanted. No. You sing the Michael Jackson song.
Which one?
The Free Willy song. Dun, 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 dun. I don't remember. Or you sing Thriller, okay?
Great. That sounds good.
Yes.
PYW, Pretty
Ooh,
Young
Whale. Here we go.
Now we're
onto something.
Now we're doing it. Ooh, I should develop musicals.
Hello.
I should be like your mom and just produce
oh,
them.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
It's my theater
there
mom.
There you go. Jimmy, your production company is going to be like Jimmy and the Moms.
Yeah. Jimmy and the Moms. And it's just like, we're not a porn site. Like, we're a legit musical.
A legit production company.
Jimmy and the Moms, the legit production
company. In my studio apartment. Come on. And
Come
I'm just like
in.
Wearing like a kimono.
Yeah, you're dressed like a mom, obviously.
Always. Like, do you want eggs? It's 4:30 in the afternoon, but I'm making
eggs.
Do you want eggs?
It's time for eggs.
You haven't eaten yet.
Wine mom, too, where, like, you have a sippy cup of wine all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I really feel like
Multiple.
I'm at the Hudson right now with my glass.
Yeah. See? Getting the whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Fancy. Okay, Taylor, what's your number? 1 through 75. Pick a number.
25.
25. Ooh. Let's see. Okay, this is a true or false.
Ooh, yes.
Good for you.
50-50.
blue material means that an act or story was too sad or blue for the show, and using it would bring the audience down.
I already hate this. I claim false.
You're right.
Oh, damn it. I would have claimed true. What is blue material?
Blue material means that it's like raunchy or dirty.
Oh.
It's like, because in vaudeville, you couldn't use any blue material, but in burlesque, you could.
This is definitely my new drag name, Blue Material. Yeah. Yeah.
Check it out with Peppermint. See if she's...
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, Jimmy, what's your number?
55 for the year my mom was born.
Oh.
55.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Are we ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Legendary Broadway theater still stands and was the longtime home of the Ziegfeld Follies. Was it the Olympic, the Empire, the New Amsterdam, the Ziegfeld, or the Ambassador?
The New Amsterdam?
Yeah, you're right.
Yay! Aladdin. Yeah. I was like, that's the only one that I'm recognized right now.
Yeah.
Oh, can we get more chorus girls in Aladdin? Can we do that?
Do they need it?
I'm just saying, like, wow.
There's a lot of people in that show.
There's a lot of people in that show. But
like every show that performs at the New Amsterdam has to have a Follies number.
Yeah, it just has to have a Busby Berkeley Follies number where they're just like huge, like...
Yeah, opens act two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we Prince Ali,
yeah.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
And they're just like women with like huge, like feather, like thing. And they're just
They have feathers.
Okay, fine. Then we did it. All right.
You're welcome. Great idea, okay. Jimmy.
I did it.
That was brought to you by Jimmy and the Moms.
Jimmy and the Moms, a legit theater company. Legit.
Okay, here is one other question from the test. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. There are currently blank Broadway theaters. 40, 41, 43, 45, or 50. There are how many Broadway theaters that are currently running?
I say 43.
I say 43, too.
It's 41.
Oh! We want more Broadway theaters.
This is why every time that somebody comes up to me and they're like, have you been on Broadway? And I'm like, okay, let's think of the question that you are asking. You are asking if I have performed in one of 41 theaters in a tiny square area in New York City.
Yeah. But also what's funny is...
Taylor, you have.
I have.
Yeah. What's funny is 41, honestly, or 40, when you started with 40, I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I was like, oh, that's a lot. That's a big number.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, I'm talking to people, and I think we probably have already said this, but, like, Broadway doesn't necessarily mean the street that you're on. It means the amount of seats in the house.
It's over 500 seats.
Yeah, and that's actually a very wide range.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like, you can do a lot. There's what's the smallest one? Is it the Court?
I don't know.
Okay. The Court. What the Court Theater? The smallest.
Oh, the small. For some reason, I thought you were saying court, like Q-U-A-R-T, and I was like, why are we talking about courts and pints?
Courts!
Very
welcome
confused.
To Tannins and Tunes.
Oh.
Prince Ali, he got those cores.
And that was our Follies number, brought to you by Jimmy and the Moms.
Jimmy and the Moms, a legit theater company. Okay, guys, stop coming in. All right, and like asking to see our like portfolio. All right,
legit.
It's legit.
It says it on our website.
It says it on our website, all right?
Brought to you by Squarespace.
Yes. And Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible Fallout. Sponsored by Shannon and Jim.
Thank God for you guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
That movie was going to crumble without you.
How are people going to know? This Tom Cruise guy? Oh, I don't know if we can.
I'm only here because of Tannins and Tunes, you know.
Risky. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Yay! Yes. Thank you again so much.
You know, as an alum, it feels really good
you
to be back.
You are an alum, yeah.
Thank you for having me.
And where can people follow you on social media?
Taylor Iman Jones, my whole name at Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, TayLorImanJones. Taylor Iman Jones.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Jimmy?
People can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson. And Jessica?
You can find me at JMHumphrey1 on all of the things, or come take my class.
Yes.
I was going to say, you don't have like a cool like professor handle now. Like,
no. Also,
how many people are like, do a bunch of your students like friended you or like added you on stuff?
No, not at all.
Okay.
These kids don't care anymore. They're all on Snapchat, and I don't do Snapchat. Oh,
no. They're all making slime. And.
Well, here is what I didn't realize, because I'm really old. I am very old. And I thought that we were still doing PowerPoint.
Yeah. We're not doing PowerPoint?
Not doing PowerPoint.
PowerPoint is the best. What's next?
Google Slides.
I already hate it.
So basically how no one has, like, Microsoft Word and stuff anymore, everyone just uses Google Docs, everyone's using Google Slides. Ugh. And I was not aware, so I assigned a PowerPoint to some of my students, and they had to, like, go and learn PowerPoint.
What?
I couldn't believe it.
Were they also what is the Oregon Trail? What's that?
I also made a joke about Scott Joplin and, like, that he wrote The Entertainer, you know, the ringtone of everyone in 1997. And they did not laugh at my joke because they weren't born.
Oh, that sucks. That hurts.
Also, yeah, but also, like, the ringtone.
But
I know what she's talking about, but, like, you know, she's, like, trying to be hip with the kids, you know, like, the ring.
She's like, they didn't laugh because they weren't born, not because of my joke. It wasn't my joke. It was because they weren't alive. Yeah.
Yes, let's keep with that.
Yes. No, I was walking around Columbia yesterday, and I was like, I wonder if I look old here. Like, do I blend in? Are they like, come on, Grandma, get off our campus.
No, you are Rachel York. You are. And you know why? You got some of that whale blood in you.
Yes. I knew it. That's why I was always drawn to them.
Every day.
You're going to be 45. You're going to be 105 and still.
That's what I plan on doing. So.
But you are going to have, like, more, like, a blowhole, like, as
then I can swim underwater.
And then you can swim underwater. But you will have to come up for air.
That's okay, like every 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, you can hold your breath pretty well.
Yeah. You can follow the show at Tannins and Tunes on all of the social medias, and then reach out to us at tannins@gmail.com. And don't forget to go onto iTunes and subscribe and leave a review so that we can give a dollar towards Napa Fire Relief.
Yes.
Super to us right now, especially because we had a wine from Napa Sonoma today.
Yes.
So to give back to them. And get in contact with us, you guys. Tell us your favorite episodes. If you love having Taylor on, we'll get her on again.
We'll get her on again for things that she's not even a part of.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I've never even seen that show, but yeah, I got opinions.
You know, welcome to the musical theater community. We all got opinions for things we should not have opinions for.
Awesome. Well, Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you again. Oh, I can't wait. See you again.
Bye.